The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
It's preposterous to anybody that truly understands what really makes up economies at all to hear him make those claims that it doesn't cost us anything. They put out to literally say that the reason we have shortages is that people are buying too much, when everybody that knows or is in business is suffering two big problems: labor, the ability to service across a wide spectrum of industries, and parts and things in order to perform their businesses and services, whatever it may be.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. This Sunday, we have got a big feast coming up, right? The Solemnity of Christ the King. At the bottom of this hour, in about 30 minutes, I'm going to be joined by His Excellency Bishop David Ricken. Bishop Ricken he's the bishop, if you're not familiar, who approved the only apparition in our country, right? He did a thorough investigation, and after having done that, the visions of Our Lady, the apparitions of the Blessed Mother, she came under the title of Queen of Heaven. We call her Our Lady of Good Help because so many miracles have taken place. The site's a remarkable place, too. If you ever have a chance, get there. It's in a place called Champion, Wisconsin. Absolutely still virginal in terms of the way it is. You go to some of these apparition sites, these holy places, and they're overrun by tchotchkes and hotels. And this is a very rural, simple place to go to. Anyway, he approved that apparition, but he's going to do something else. And there's some big news I want to share with you at the bottom of the hour. The bishop will be joining me. It'll share what's going to happen not only in his diocese, but for the country and for the world. All right, so stay tuned for that. We'll be talking to Peter Grandage coming up first, and I want to get you plugged into what's going on here. I was having a conversation earlier today with a cup of coffee. I went to Mass early, came back, had some coffee with my wife, and I was talking about what we're seeing in our economy. Right, what Thanksgiving is going to cost, you know, what inflation is doing, gas prices. I mean, you know it. I don't need to go through the litany of things. And a little bit earlier when I started the show today, I talked about the House passing the Build Back Better bill. It's now off, of course, for consideration in the Senate. The problem for Democrats, of course, is that the bill, it's not going to pass. I mean, fundamentally, I'll just be straight. The bill probably won't get past the Senate, and that's going to cause problems for funding the government. But there's also the problem of how much the bill is going to cost, you know, you and me. And we can't just look at this like it's not our money. It is our money. It's your money. I mean, you're seeing government decisions right now affect you in the grocery store and at the pump. You're going to see it, I think, with interest rates. You're going to see it in a lot of other sectors as well. The CBO, that's the Congressional Budget Office, they analyze the bill, and they say it's going to add, you know, more than $350 billion to the deficit. In addition to that, it's going to fund a lot more IRS agents, too. And if you're an IRS agent listening, we love you guys. Thank you for what you do. But I don't think I want a whole lot more of them, do you? I can see there's going to be a lot. Go after cheaters. Go after those who aren't doing what's right. But I can just see a lot of small businesses. I can see a lot of people having to deal with the IRS because they've got to raise this money somehow, right? And they want to add, I think, what, 85,000 agents, something like that. They're going to fund a lot more agents. They're going to be running a lot more audits. It's going to cost you time, cost your business money, cost you personally time, maybe cost you personally money. And they're saying, hey, this is one of the ways that we're going to cover it. You know, we're going to go after these tax cheats. And look, I'm all against making sure that anybody who's not paying their fair share does. I just worry about what it means for particular organizations or groups and what it's going to cost them, as I said, again, with time and money. But the problem, of course, and this is another note, we're going to look at that in greater detail. The problem, of course, is that the administration, it claimed it's not going to cost anything. You heard the president say that many, many times, right? And he'd lean over to the microphone and say, it's not going to cost anything. You heard Nancy Pelosi say that. You know, you heard Chuck Schumer. You heard Jen Psaki. I mean, you heard all these people. It's not going to cost anything. It's not going to contribute to inflation. You know, it's paid for. Here's the reality. When you add a lot more money to the economy, there's only one way that inflation is going to go. And I think you know that, right? It's going to go up. That's it. It's going to go up. Inflation is the one thing that's been dragging the economy down, and it's really hitting people's wallets, especially, as I was talking about, with food and energy. Winter's right around the corner, and gas and oil prices have already gone up. A lot of people heat their homes with natural gas, with propane. I've got a daughter who does some missionary work down in Texas. She drives about 45 minutes a day back and forth from where she lives. And I feel terrible for her because she kind of lives on Providence. You know, she doesn't get a very big stipend for what she does, and she needs support for what she does. And I'm just thinking, her gas bill, her fuel bill, you know, what's that going to do to her? You know, and to you, going back and forth to work, picking up the kids, running the errands. I mean, we know. What's it going to do to your heating bill? It's going to make it harder for you to heat your homes. And with food prices, they've already been a lot higher than maybe you've been expecting. But despite that, and I'm not here just to paint a completely negative picture. I don't want to do that. I just want to be honest about where we are, make sure that we're all on the same page. You know, the index of leading economic indicators, and if you're not familiar with that, that shows that the economy is, you know, it's beginning to heat up. And I don't know how that would be possible, but that's why Peter Grandage is going to give me some insight on that. I'm not the economist here. I'm not the financial guru. I don't know how it's possible, but that's what they're saying. So, you know, first time jobless claims, this is some good news. They were the lowest since the pandemic began, right? But there were also record numbers of people quitting their jobs. And more than likely, though, they were able to find a new job pretty quickly, given the number of openings, you know, that there are right now. And there's still a lot of openings. People are still not working. Rather than me continue on, let me invite Peter back into the conversation. I'd love to talk with him about it. You're welcome to join us, too. If you've got a question, a comment, you want to join the conversation, you're always welcome. Pull the chair up. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. You know Peter. He's been a regular here. About every 2 weeks, he stops by, and we do a quick analysis of where we are, both in the economy and in the markets. He wrote a book called Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. I endorsed it along with a lot of other people. It's a great read about a great journey, the journey of how his Catholic faith led him to a true conversion. And Peter, of course, loves to talk about the faith as much as he does the finances. And he provides, you know, matters of guidance on finance through his company, Peter Grandage & Company. You can learn more at petergrandage.com. Peter, welcome back.
Well, I was listening to you describe how things were. I thought you were reading my script.
you got to explain to me, though. I mean, I can highlight all the problems. I mean, they're pretty evident. We can see those. But then, as I said, the index of leading economic indicators shows the economy's heating up. What's going on? I'm not the economist. You're the financial expert here. Are things turning? Are we going to see brighter days? How do you read it?
Well, leading economic indicators were mainly up because one of the indicators that led it up is the stock market. So when the stock market rises, it's like an economic indicator pointing up. That and consumer sentiment was mainly the reasons for the rise. Now, you know, you pointed out about the unemployment, which was great, except you made the most important point is the last part, and that is how many people have dropped out of the workforce. You know, I've been telling you that as long as the labor participation rate continues not to improve, it's hard to get a steady rise in the economy and all. So think about this, Drew. When we were younger, we had inflation at 5, 6, 7. Some of us go back to the 70s and 80s. Remember when it hit 8 or 9%. But at least when it was 8 or 9%, you can go to the bank and get a 10 or 15% CD. Yeah. Now inflation's 5, 6, 7, 8%, and your CD's 1%. So we're seeing serious loss of purchasing power. That's what's really hitting the consumer, and it doesn't look like it's going to abate anytime soon. And that's the killing part of the inflation story. And when you take into a fact, it's still difficult for, I find, 7 or 8 out of 10 families have gone sideways to down over these last several years, and this wealth separation now has become acute. The studies after studies are showing, especially in these last 2 years during the pandemic, that basically somewhere between 1 and 10% of America kind of moved forward, and the higher you were closer to the 1%, the much better you did. But most people have gone sideways to down. And now on top of that, we're throwing large inflation. We're throwing some social and political problems that I personally don't think have ever been severe, other than possibly the Civil War and the Revolutionary War. And it doesn't paint a picture to be very bullish here. And if you think, if I can just say this, Drew, yeah. I hate being the bearer of bad news, but if you looked at what took place in Congress in the last 24 hours and how each side viewed things, and now tomorrow we suddenly have a crisis like we had in 2008, if you think those two groups can go into a room and solve anything right now, I think you're going to have another thing coming to you. That's my biggest concern overall. Yes, social issues always go on, and we pray to God there's healing, but I'm going to tell you something. Our political parties are so separated that I don't think they can reach any conclusion now, even the most dire emergency. That's how much disdain there is for each side.
Yeah, so what's going to happen if, and I don't think it's likely, I think this will be drug out for a little while, although Chuck Schumer and others are saying, hey, they want to get this thing done before Christmas. Build Back Better. If that bill gets approved for some reason by the Senate, let's just say it does. You know, they make some concessions, whatever. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think something will get done. I don't see nothing getting done. The problem that we continue to have is that I'm in this camp. So there's two camps. There's a camp that, you know, that everything is pretty hunky-dory and so forth. And then there's a camp that basically says, hey, listen, you just can't keep printing trillions and trillions of dollars. You can't keep piling on debt, not only on the federal level, where at least we have allowed to use a printing press, but on the state levels where there are no printing presses, Drew. I can't tell you how many states right now have huge budget deficits, have crises paying off pensions and all. They don't have the ability. They only can raise taxes and cut services. Then you look at corporations have much debt they've taken on in the consumer. No matter what happens with this bill, it goes back to what I always tell you, which is the gorilla that just grows every year, and that's the debt crisis. The inevitable breakdown in America will come from the debt that we've incurred, and it's not something that can just go poof and go away. And we've now talking trillions. I have to tell you, I'm going to be in this almost 40 years. I would have told you never in my wildest dreams would we have trillion anythings. Now we have multi-trillion dollar budget deficits, wow, let alone tens of trillions of dollars of debt. It can't continue, Drew. There comes a point where the debt becomes too big to service. Listen, we have $30 trillion now. Even if interest rates go back to 5%, just 5%, that's $1.5 trillion in interest payments we'll have to make. We only took in $3.1 trillion in revenue total in 2019, which was the government's best every year. So it can't continue. Will any of these folks talk about that? Will anybody talk about the inability, possibly because Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security isn't even taken into account? And some estimate that's another $70 to $100 trillion that people are expecting to be paid. It can't continue this way. Sooner or later, and I think it'll be sooner than later, but we have to pay a price for that. Most people don't want to talk about it. And I can tell you this, Drew, in my business, most investors that I meet, that's the last thing they want to hear. They just keep hoping that it's not going to happen. But I don't see how you can get around it. I'm always willing to hear somebody explain to me how we can, but no one can come up with a good answer that can satisfy me, certainly for the 40 years that I've understood finances and economies.
So, Peter, you don't see any end in sight, I should say, for inflation. Then you just see this continuing to heat up and get worse.
See, inflation is always, once it gets out of a bottle, history has shown that once people believe tomorrow something could be more expensive and I better go down and get it today, or I have to raise prices because it's going to cost me more to buy something else, it's a very thing hard to break. Paul Volcker, back in the late 70s into the early 1980s, literally had to bring the economy to its knees to break the inflation that we had back then. Now, inflation is a game of perception. Back then, we thought inflation at 12 or 14% was too high. People can tell you now with interest rates down at 1%, inflation at 6% is actually worse than it was when inflation was 14%. So it isn't something I think you can put back in the bottle and just say, it's the Fed's, it's transitory. It's not transitory because we're seeing it around the world. Germany's PPI just came out at an annual rate of 18%. It's not just happening in the U.S. It's happening around anywhere in the world where central banks have just flooded the economies with printed dollars, and with dollars or euros or whatever you want to call them. And the bottom line is, when you put too much money out there chasing fewer and fewer items, because we're all seeing the troubles with getting items, inflation only has one place to go, and that's up.
Well, my guest today, Peter Grandage, if you want to join us, feel free to. Peter Lindler is a friend of mine, Peter, just so you know. He was a music composer on the documentaries I used to do. The guy's brilliant. You're brilliant, too. Love having you. My guest, Peter Grandage, if you want to join us, our number today, 888-914-9149. I want to diverge from economics just for a moment and from the markets. And I want your take on this, because I don't want people to be too depressed or overwhelmed or concerned about the future. You and I have spoken about tithing a number of times, and I just want to share something I heard. I had some neighbors who stopped by last week. They came over. It was just an impromptu type of a visit, and it turned into them staying for dinner and a glass of wine. And we were talking. They're not Catholic, but they were talking about giving. And her husband's now starting to put more money away. He's trying to save more money and put in his retirement. And she's like, "Well, we should be giving more to God. We should continue to tithe." And he goes, "Well, we do tithe. You know, we do some tithing, but I give some of my time, et cetera." And she shared a story with me of how there was one pastor. I don't know whether it was Rick Warren, it's his story or not. Tithes, the more he began to tithe, the more he began to give back to God, even when times were troubled, when they're difficult like this, you want to kind of hoard your money, hoard your resources, hoard your food, hoard everything you can. You want to make sure you have it because things are going to get bad, and you let fear dominate your life. They said that their pastor was sharing that how even in these circumstances, he would continue to tithe. And I think it was Rick Warren was the guy who they said had said that he's up to tithing 90% of his income. I said, 90% of his income? That's crazy. That's a lot of money. But the more he gave, the more God gave back to him. And as we face uncertain times, as we face financially perhaps turbulent times, maybe you can speak to that, because I was struck by their story. I really was. And I said to them personally, I said, look, I said to her husband, I can testify to it. Whenever I give, and even when I think I can't give sometimes, or it might be a little bit more of a sacrifice for me, God somehow gives it back. Sometimes very visibly, sometimes it's an unexpected blessing. Sometimes it's a discount on your insurance, or it could be, some other type of gift that you get, somebody surprising you with something, a great deal, a great buy. It could be who knows how God gives it back to you. And there's lots of ways, but maybe you can speak to that.
Well, I have been speaking about tithing for several years now, and there are some people that want to hear it and others that don't. And I've shared this with you in the past, that I believe the greatest talk out there that I know of is by Dr. Charles Stanley, and it's called God and Money, and it's on YouTube. And he basically goes through the one book in all of Scripture where God really challenges us, especially regarding tithing, and that's Malachi. And he, again, like the pastor you may be referring to and others, point to just countless incidents, both they've experienced and what they've known people shared with them, that the more they tithe or the more they focused on tithing, the blessings seem to have poured out. And that's what Malachi is all about. It's basically God saying, listen, do you really believe me? Let's cut to the bottom line. If you really believe all this, and we do and all, then tithe, and let me show you how abundantly I'll return to tenfold. And it's hard for people doing. It's not like you do it one Sunday or you write one check and then you wait for it all to flood. It's an attitude that you have to change. Now, I went and changed it because, I battled, God, my money, God, money was God, my God, for the good part of my first half of my career. And then when my conversions and all came and all, and I learned about less is more. But I really focused on something. And this is, I think, good advice that I would hope people would listen to. people do read scripture, but they don't sometimes read it for one of the best things it's known for, and that's financial advice. In fact, God talks more about matters of money and possessions and all than he does even about heaven or hell. So right. God certainly felt matters of money and finance were critical, and that's why he inspired so much in scripture about it. And I always ask people, are you living the way life does? And it always goes back to the thing that a lot of people don't want to hear, Drew, and that was something I think since the first time I spoke to you, and that is debt is not a great thing. It's okay, it's understandable. Sometimes we have to take a mortgage or we're starting a business and all, but there's not one positive scripture, both in the Old Testament and New, about debt. And if when you sit and find out from people when they've gotten the problems and all, it was debt or getting too much stuff, you know, the old George Carlin, too much stuff and all. Tithing is an amazing phenomena that some of the greatest stories when people were left with almost nothing and just said, listen, I'm just going to turn it over to God and I'm just going to finally, listen, I just got to trust you, God. And like you said, it's just countless, countless stories. And really, if people haven't read Malachi or it's been a long time, sometime this weekend, just take the time to read Malachi and see if you feel the challenge that God inspires there. And I think if you do and you take them up on it, I think you'll get a lot of calls in 2022 going, why, Drew, I listened to you that time in November, and I just and people have to understand it doesn't necessarily often have to be in money. You Amen. Can tithe in your services and your prayers and helping down at places where other people, taking someone to the doctor office who might have otherwise would have paid or would have had to pay you to do that. It's not necessarily just writing a check somewhere.
Let's do this. I have a couple minutes. I want to grab very quickly a call for you, Peter, as well. My guest, Peter Grandage, if you want to join us, of course, you know the number, right? 888-914-9149. Emmanuel in Bergen County, New Jersey. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Hi, Peter.
Hello.
So my question is if inflation keeps going up, does that mean the real estate market keeps going up too?
Well, you know, normally under normal conditions, my answer would be yes, because people will go to real estate to use as a hedge. But because of the uniqueness of what's happened in economies and with COVID and the changes now in real estate, where 5 or 10 years ago, you know, we'd have no problem owning commercial buildings, especially office buildings. But now, because of the change, maybe that might not be the best place. I do think that it's very important that people understand this. If we keep only earning 1%, and that's basically what one can get in fixed income now, unless one takes some sort of risk, that's basically it's 1% or 2% the banks offer or someplace where there's really no chance of loss of principal. And inflation is triple of that or quadruple of that. It won't be very long before your living standard is going to have to take a big cutback. And that's what I don't think people prepare for, because we've been in a disinflation environment for a few decades. And now that change, especially younger folks, don't understand how inflation truly eats away at purchasing power. So I think that's the big concern that everybody, you know, should be concerned about.
All right, well,
also,
I got one more question. Very quickly, if you could, Emmanuel. Go ahead.
Okay, what do you think about cryptocurrency?
I'm not a fan of them. I think there'll be a great shakeout. I think there'll be survivors, and like the internet, after the shakeout occurred, some great companies came out of that. But with thousands of different cryptocurrencies out there, and Bitcoin to me is like AOL was in the early days of the internet, I think if you haven't been in it, for me personally, it'd be too late to start. And I think we're starting to see, the topping formation in these things. And after a shakeout and after, you know, a period of time when the regulatory people will come in and then try to organize it more, because unfortunately the public at large is usually the people that are left at the last end of something like this, then and only then I personally would be a buyer of cryptocurrencies.
Yeah. Hey, Emmanuel, thank you. I'll do a show on that maybe next week or the week after on crypto, because I've been reading a lot about it, seeing a lot about it. I'm grateful for your call. Hey, Peter, thank you for your time. If we do not talk, have a happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for your insight and your wisdom. It's always good to have you here.
God bless you, Drew. Take care.
God bless you. It's Peter Grandage. Check him out at petergrandage.com. When I return, His Excellency Bishop David Ricken joins me. You got to hear what he's planning for the country. Stay with me.
I have really struggled with my faith. And again, I'm so grateful to Relevant Radio. The joy that I get from my spiritual life, man, I feel like the scales have fallen off my eyes.
This is my religious education every single day when I listen to you. And I go to church and I pray for you, you know, about Patrick Madrid and Drew Mariani and everybody. I just thank God. I'm like, for putting people like you on the radio and making my faith just increase so much.
This is why we exist.
Relevant Radio
is to help people get to heaven.
You know, if somebody's thirsting for the truth, what better place than Relevant Radio, okay, to quench their thirst, you know, for the truth? You guys do such a good job, okay, of doing it. And, you know, every day trying to figure another way to say it, okay, but it's always the truth.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media. Relevant Radio.
He can bring true peace. Number two, he's really and truly risen from the dead. And number three, he's the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus is.
His Eminence, Timothy Cardinal Dolan.
Pope St. John Paul II, he said, Jesus Christ is the answer to the questions posed by every single human life.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
He's the way, the truth, and the life.
Relevant Radio.
Hi, Drew Mariani here. Hey, I am traveling to the Holy Land in February with our underwriting sponsor, Nativity Pilgrimage. Information is available at relevantradio.com/Holy Land. That's relevantradio.com/Holy Land.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show.
Relevant Radio.
On Relevant Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Hey, I've got something very, very exciting to share with you. I am pumped. I'll tell you, when I heard about what was unfolding, I said I had to reach out to my shepherd, Bishop David Ricken. And before I go to him, I just want to say something, and I've been saying this to you for a while. I really do believe good things loom in the future for America. I think good things loom for the church and for you personally. With this Eucharistic revival in the coming year, in the coming years, the months ahead, I think there's going to be a tremendous outpouring of grace. I think we're going to see profound conversion. I think we're going to see deeper respect and love for our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. We're seeing the spread of devotions like the Rosary and Divine Mercy. You know, this weekend we will be celebrating the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. And my bishop, Bishop David Ricken, who is the 12th bishop of the Diocese of Green Bay, and I'm so proud to call him my shepherd. You might recall Bishop Ricken, who he formally declared those apparitions of Our Lady, the Queen of Heaven. Many people affectionately call her today Our Lady of Good Help, to Adele Bryce as authentic, those visions in Champion, Wisconsin. That made those visions the only approved apparitions in the United States. And this weekend, the bishop is doing something that I think will personally have a profound spiritual impact on the nation and the world. He joins me this afternoon to share a little bit about what the Holy Spirit is calling him to do. Your Excellency, so good to talk with you. Thank you for being here, and thanks for what you're about to do.
Thank you, Drew. I appreciate it very much.
So fill everyone in. I mean, it's the Solemnity of Christ the King. I know people, they go to Mass on Sunday, they might hear that. The year passes, they don't think much about that. It's a big feast. And of course, this Sunday, you're going to be doing something not only for your diocese, you're not only going to entrust your diocese, but I know you're going to commend the nation and the world. Fill us in a little of the history here and why you chose this moment in time to do this. I know the year of St. Joseph is coming to an end, and when I heard about what you're doing, I thought the timing couldn't be more perfect.
Well, Drew, thank you very much for that little introduction. And I've been praying about this and thinking about this for several years, that really Christ the King is such an integral part of the gospel message of the church's life. And often we just kind of skip over it. This is the last Sunday of the liturgical year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. And the church highly regards this particular solemnity with very, very good reason. And I've been really impressed by what they did in Poland in 2018, where they entrusted their nation to Christ the King. And they did it with a litany that they used, and I was so inspired by that. I thought, you know, maybe this could be used as a template for a bishop to entrust his diocese to Christ the King of all nations, the King of the universe, etc., and that we could be more cognizant of how much God's kingdom is already here, not yet fully, but as we long and pray for the full manifestation of his kingdom, this will make a great transformation in people's lives and in the life of the diocese. Of course, you know, we're all concerned about our country. We're concerned about the world, you know, the poverty, the things that are going on. And I think we really need to get down on our knees and repent and beg the King of all nations, the King of the universe, Christ the King, to really draw souls to himself and to the church.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. You take a look at what's unfolding in the culture, and it's easy to see the rising darkness. But you know, I think as evil rises, grace abounds all the more. And the Lord told St. Faustina, he said that the balm, the remedy, the ointment for the ills of the world is divine mercy. And he says, the world will have no peace until it turns with trust to my mercy. There's almost a connection here, isn't there, Your Excellency, between the Sacred Heart, divine mercy, and this great feast of Christ the King.
You are so right, Drew. Really, these three devotions can fit together beautifully, and people are getting this in prayer that, you know, this is Christ's reign is one of love, but it's one of love that's about the truth, about justice, about peace, about unity, and that's what all of these three devotions that fit together so beautifully pour out of the heart of God and his love for his people, his mercy for his people. And once mercy is poured out, people begin to understand the truth of their lives and begin to face reality and what we've done. We, you know, we all need to continuously repent for our sins, for the lack of what we have done, and for other things that we have done that are not really in the will of God or need repentance. And with that mercy and that reign, that we ask God to truly be the King of our lives and the King of our diocese, the King of our country. You know, I just have the jurisdiction of, you know, Northeast Wisconsin as far as the people in my area. But certainly we're going to commend the state and commend the nation in this litany as well. So it's comprehensive. I don't have the ecclesiastical jurisdiction to speak in behalf of the whole country or the state. However, I'm going to be praying for everybody. We all are. The whole diocese is doing this. The priests are doing this in their parishes, too, this weekend along with me. And I really think it's going to be a great opportunity for us to put first things first. And that's what's so exciting about it.
Yeah, I'm excited. If anyone is in the Green Bay area or diocese, you happen to be in town, you can go to St. Francis Xavier Cathedral, where this will be live, and it will be streamed. If you are somewhere else in the nation and you want to be part of what I think is a historic, grace-filled moment, you can listen to it live on Relevant Radio. We will be streaming this as well, and I expect great things. Just one final thought here. I know you've got to run, Your Excellency, but I'm curious, you know, entrustment. John Paul II entrusted the world. He also consecrated, you know, the world to the Immaculate Heart. When it comes to entrustment, when it comes to these acts that we're about to engage in, and when the faithful participate like this on a day like the Solemnity, what graces do you think are going to flow? What do you think the fruit of this will be?
Well, what I'm hoping is that the graces will be that we don't have to worry about all these things. We just need to turn them over to God and his sovereignty and ask for God's help. And the more we realize we have to do our part, of course, but the more we realize God's in charge, we work for him. He doesn't work for us. We work for him. We give our lives to him. And once we do that, we can let go and let God do his thing, and we'll help him. We'll help him whatever he wants us to do. That's what an entrustment is. And that's why I'm hoping to help people to receive this grace that will come, especially on this day, but in the future as well, to continue to access graces through it, really giving the Lord what is his due and we asking him how we can be of assistance to him.
Well, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm a believer in the power of prayer, and I know that the spiritual impact will be profound from this. And I'm grateful for your yes and your receptivity to the Holy Spirit. And I just want to invite everyone who is listening now, if you are tuned in, set your watch, set your tablets, set your smartphone, wherever you are, and join us for this day. The graces, I think, will be abundant on that day. Your Excellency, before you go, would you do me a favor? Would you grant us your blessing? Would you bless all who are listening?
I'd be honored to, Drew. Father in heaven, we thank you for your great love, which you're constantly pouring out to your people. I ask you to touch hearts, touch minds, touch souls. Help us to get out of your way to do what you want us to do. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. And please pray for His Excellency Bishop David Ricken. We're blessed to have him, and I'm blessed to call him my shepherd. I'll be right back. Stay with me.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Well, good afternoon. It's great to be here. I'm excited. I mean, that bishop, you heard, I think you heard his heart in that last blessing that he gave us. And sometimes that happens. You're overcome by the Holy Spirit and you feel love, and it emotes that way. And I just am proud to have Bishop David Ricken on the air with me, the great bishop of the Diocese of Green Bay, Wisconsin. And if you're just joining us, he will entrust the United States. They're going to entrust the Diocese of Green Bay, and he's going to commend the nation and the world to Jesus, the King of all nations, this Sunday. And you can be part of it. As I said, you can stream it here at Relevant Radio. Just go to our website. If you are in the area, get plugged in and go to his go to St. Xavier. That's where the actual entrustment will be done in Green Bay. But also, if you want to learn more about this, you might say, I know every year we have the Solemnity of Christ the King, but I don't know a whole lot about it. Where does it come from? Why is it powerful? Is there protection that comes with this entrustment? Well, I'm joined right now by Dan Lynch. He's been a longtime friend of mine. He is also the author of a great book called Saints of the States, and it was one of his first books. And Dan is going to be joining me. He's got an apostolate dedicated to Jesus, King of all nations. And an easy way to remember the website, I'll put a quick plug in for it on the front end here. It's JKMI, Jesus King Missionary Image.com. I met him years ago. I remember doing a program on weeping statues and paintings and icon. I did this little documentary called Tears from Heaven. And he was up in Vermont. I remember going up with my film crew and sitting down and talking to him about the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, that image itself is, miraculous is a strong word, but yeah, it's miraculous. I mean, it survived a half a millennia already. It's over 500 years old. It survived bomb blasts and natural elements and acts of vandalism and all sorts of things, fire. And in it is a mystery. Scientists, and I'll talk about this probably next week or the week after, maybe in 2 weeks, I'll unpack the mystery of the shroud, or the mystery of this great image with you. But so that was part of his big ministry. I that's how I first met him. And over the years, I got to know the man. As I said, he wrote the book, Saints of the States. He's been a great speaker at conferences around the nation. And, of course, is promoting Jesus, the King of all nations. And I said to him today, I said, Dan, why don't you stop by? You got to come on. Just get everyone plugged into this incredibly powerful devotion. And he joins me right now. Dan, good to talk with you again, brother. Thanks for being here.
Good to talk with you, Drew. Thanks for having me. And hello to all of our listeners out there in ever-expanding Relevant Radio land.
Relevant Radio country, right? Amen. Relevant Radio nation. That's so true. Amen. We're getting big. And that's great. And that's God's providence.
Let me just say, God bless Bishop Ricken for being so courageous to do this in the midst of our secular culture, with all the interference we're having with our rights and the church and the church versus state. Many people do not want Jesus Christ to be their king. That's why he has come to reveal this, that he wants his reign recognized on earth now by every single human being. It's an act of justice. It's what is due to God. He's our creator. We're the creature. But we think we're God, or we want to be God. It goes back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve wanted to be like God because Satan said, you can be like God. They were chastised with the loss of paradise. They go to the Tower of Babel. They wanted to be like God and build their way to heaven. They were chastised with the the loss of their common language, and they all babbling. That's where the word babbling comes from. So there's many secular enemies out there. Thank God for Bishop Ricken standing up for Jesus.
He's an anointed man. His story, one day I wish he'd come on and share. I mean, he founded Wyoming Catholic College. He's had incredible mystical experiences. He's a man of profound prayer. And, of course, approved the only church-approved apparition in the country. And this weekend, he's now going to entrust his diocese and commend the nation and the world to Jesus, King of all nations. Dan, give us some background. People know it's on the liturgical calendar. It happens every year. But what's the origins of this? What's going to happen with the entrustment? What kind of protection comes from it? Get everybody plugged in.
Well, the origins of the whole of Jesus, King of all nations, is from the encyclical letter of Pope Pius the 11th in 1925, Quas Primus, he wanted the individual reign and the social reign of Jesus to be recognized. Jesus is not just the King of all nations at the end of the world, which is emphasized now eschatologically in Matthew. He's coming back as King to judge the nations. But he doesn't want us to wait till the end of the world to recognize him as our King. He wants it now. In the social reign, that means every human being on this earth, whether they know it or not, are subject to his rule and his reign and his love and mercy. And we have to abide by his divine positive law and natural law. That's not happening. He wants that to happen. He wants to be recognized as our King, a King of mercy, a King of love, but also a King of justice if we don't repent and convert and receive his mercy. Go ahead.
No, you guys are going to say, what's required of us? What do we have to do?
Repent, convert, acknowledge him and as our King, and trust our lives to him, as Bishop Ricken is leading in this for the diocese and for the whole country, for all of us to join him in making this act of entrustment that he's composed, which has a litany in it of, our response, Christ reign in us, and in our families, Christ reign in us, in our homes, Christ reign in us, in our villages, Christ reign in us, in our cities, Christ reign in us, in all human situations and social arrangements, reign in us. We're pleading to God to reign in us and that we can receive him as our King of love and King of mercy. So that's why he composed this act of entrustment, which you can read on my website. You go to my website, jkmi.com. JK, that stands for Jesus King. MI for Mary Immaculate. jkmi.com. Hit my blog. The article was posted today regarding his announcement. And also you can read the full act of entrustment that he's doing. It's a beautiful prayer. It's beautiful. It's never been happening in our country. We've never entrusted our country or anything to Jesus Christ, King of Nations. And it's a beautiful prayer and a beautiful litany that everybody can join in and should join in by going to my website and reading it. You can also watch this live on the Diocesan website and on Relevant Radio website at 9 a.m. Central Time on Sunday. So everybody get up a little earlier and watch him celebrate Mass, Bishop Ricken, in the Cathedral of St. Francis Xavier in the diocese where he approved the Queen of Heaven apparition, also known as the Mother of Good Help. Now, he's putting this first step, opening the door for the recognition of the King. It seems odd, with the state, only in the state of Wisconsin, to have the honor of the Queen of Heaven overlooking them and the rest of the country. Now, Jesus, King of all nations. So it's a beautiful thing that he's doing, and I urge everybody to join him this Sunday at 9 o'clock.
Dan, it's funny you bring that up. I'll let you finish your thought, but I was just struck by something you said about how Bishop Ricken approves the only church-approved apparition in our entire nation, those visions of the Mother of God to Adele Breeze back in 1859. So we have those apparitions. We have in Green Bay, where he is the bishop of, you have the National Shrine of St. Joseph. You have Our Lady here. And now he's going to be doing this entrustment. There was and I don't know what the source of this is, so I'm going to throw it out. I probably shouldn't even talk about it, but you know how it is in the world of apparitions and the mystical sometimes. It was said by somebody who has a lot of credibility that the conversion of this country, it's really going to spark from this particular diocese. And I wonder what that meant. I mean, was it Relevant Radio now spanning the nation, you know, or and bringing truth and educating and catechizing? Is it something more spiritual, such as what we're seeing coming out of Champion with the year of St. Joseph, now with this consecration? Perhaps it's all of those things. And perhaps we will see in the not too distant future, in the coming year, the fruit of this consecration or this entrustment. But I'll let you pick it up.
Yeah, that's what we're praying for. So it was Pope Pius XI that started this new sort of modern recognition of and call to recognize Christ as the King for peace. So that's established in the Church. But it never got any intention. It didn't get the intention that he thought it would have. Even by he's the one that created the feast day, Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. But it always just expressed the end of the world and how we the nations will be judged by the King. He wants to be recognized now. So he's come in private revelation through a mystic, a young woman in America in 1988. And he said he wants to be known as Jesus, King of all nations. He appeared to her in visions, gave her locutions where she heard his messages in her head, not like I'm talking to you. You know, she just heard them in her head. And she wrote them down. And I'm saying miraculously, he would confirm them with the scripture. He would say a half of a sentence and interrupt it and gave her a scripture, a citation, which would say the same thing in the Bible, basically, not different words, but the same thought. So it shows you how scripture is living. The word of God is alive and well today. And nobody could make this up. I think Jesus did this so that she couldn't be accused of fraud. Anybody can write a message. Nobody can write a whole, she has a journal full now, over, you know, almost 200 messages. All, and that journal can be obtained on our website too, jkmi.com. All of her messages are in the journal. Nobody could write these. The messages are superb. They're supernatural, almost a beautiful language. And then they're confirmed by these citations, because he wants to be known as Jesus, King of all nations. He wants his reign to be recognized on earth. This is what he said here in the very beginning. This is back in 1988. Okay. He gave his, you know, he appeared to her in this image. He's like his alb is over his cloak is over the whole world, and the ejaculation is, "Oh Jesus, King of all nations, may your reign be recognized on earth." He's holding a scepter of mercy as a king in his right hand, and he's crowned as king, and he's coming on the clouds. He's like a new. He wants us to recognize him for what he is, the King of all nations. And accept his mercy before before my scepter of mercy turns into a rod of justice. God is love, God is mercy, God is also justice. That's what the God is. And that's why he calls this devotion more or less the three in one, as the bishop alluded to, because it includes the Sacred Heart, it includes the Divine Mercy devotion, and includes this devotion to Jesus, King of all nations. That's love, mercy, and justice. And they're all in the image of the Sacred Heart pulling its blood out in this sin-sick world, his cloak surrounding the world, rays of mercy coming from his hands and his feet where his wounds were. It's so beautiful. And then he said this message, "This image is to be a sign that I rule heaven and earth, and my kingdom, my reign, is near at hand. I give this image to mankind as a source of graces and of peace. My most holy mother is preparing the great triumph, the triumph of her Immaculate Heart, ushers in the reign of my love and mercy. I have come to entrust to you a message of great importance for the world. I tell you, my very little one," he's speaking to the mystic now, who he also calls his secretary, "I tell you, my very little one, the days are coming when mankind will cry out to me for mercy. I tell you, my child, that in these times only one thing will be given as a remedy. I myself am that remedy. Let souls give devotion to me through my most holy mother as Jesus, King of all nations." That's what he wants. And to help us to respond to this, he's just laid out a silver platter, this whole beautiful devotion to it. It has elements of the image of Our Lady, Mediatrix of all grace, an image of St. Michael who appeared to her, beautiful devotion to St. Michael, calling himself the protector of the Blessed Sacrament, "Call upon me whenever sacrileges are committed," such as, he didn't say this, but I'm saying it, such as President Biden openly receiving the Holy Eucharist every week while being the greatest promoter in the history of the presidency of the United States to promote abortion. A sacrilege, a scandal to the country, Nobody's doing anything about it, and Jesus suffers this sacrilege every time he goes there. May God have mercy on the soul of President Biden. So he gives us a medal. Go ahead.
Dan, I have about a minute left for you, and I want to thank you because I don't want to cut you off in midstream when you're there. That's this coming Sunday, of course. Let me just give you a final thought. You only have probably less than a minute to wrap up what you're saying.
Well, I can wrap it up really quickly. Let me just wrap it up then. It's not all Jesus has threatened chastisements, but he's given us promises and protections to against them. They've worked against me. He saved me from a hurricane that was headed directly to my cottage in Florida, and it took a sudden right turn 90 degrees, and the meteorologist said it was impossible. Saved my cottage. Wow. So this is his best prophecy. He's prophesied a new Pentecost, the renewal of the church, the renewal of mankind, and of all creation. So there's hope for the world. And I'll close with Pope Pius XI wrote in his encyclical. This is what Jesus wants. When once men recognize, both in private and in public life, that Christ is king, society will at last receive the great blessings of real liberty, well-ordered discipline, peace, and harmony. If the kingdom of Christ then receives, as it should, all nations under its way, there seems to no reason why we should despair of seeing that peace which the King of Peace came to bring on earth. Wow. Amen.
Amen, brother. Perfect timing. We'll leave it at that. Dan, thank you. Check him out, jkmi.org.
Yep, and you can read my book, Chastisements, How to Protect Against Him, at jkmi.com.
All right.
And also read the
Dan, thank you. I got to leave it right there. Have a great weekend, everyone.